Hey guys, Bionabu presents the MedTech Podcast. If you're intrigued and want to learn more about how technology is changing healthcare, then this podcast is perfect for you. If you want to learn about entrepreneurship and innovation, then stick around. My name's Esh, and welcome to the conversation. Hey guys, just before we get into this episode, I wanted to ask you all a massive favor. So whether you listen to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whichever platform you listen to this episode on, please can you just hit that follow button, like the podcast, and hit that bell icon. It just notifies you whenever I release a new episode. It honestly would mean so much to me, and it just helps the channel to grow. So without further ado, let's get into this episode. I'm really excited to bring you Bionabu's very own Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Joel Brown, who will today be discussing how to diversify and modernize your career.
Thanks, Esh, for the introduction. So like you mentioned, I am still working as a GP, though I do that 3 days a week, and I structure my week in a way that I think gives me the opportunity to be more in control and be more flexible. And so I work as the Chief Clinical Officer at Bionabu, along with yourself and other parts of the team there, really just trying to help to build this platform for matchmaking as it relates to talent within the innovation space, and also helping to provide those who are interested in medtech innovation to find each other and get the right education towards basically bringing different products to market in the medtech space. I'm excited about that. I'm also interested in local and national medical politics to a little degree, so kind of a part of a local LMC where I get involved in that, quite like a bit of teaching. So I'm always involved, even when I'm working clinically, at supporting all the trainees, whether they're GP trainees or the junior doctors. I'm a musician, singer, songwriter, so I'm working on stuff on that end as well. So yeah, as you said, there's a few different things I do. Sometimes I have to remind myself, like, oh yes, I'm also doing that as well. So yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. And that's a great introduction, great way to start the podcast off. I'm going to say, I think the last time we spoke was probably a couple of weeks ago, firstly on the Metaverse call, but it's been a while since we've seen each other in person. It was at the Bionabu Summit in St. Thomas's Hospital. Yeah. And I remember we had a conversation then about each of us having our own passion for music. We were actually joking around saying about maybe setting up a Bionabu band. Every person has their own little talent. I play the drums. You sing, you're a songwriter, you play the piano. So I still think that's something we should do and try and get set up Christmas this year. But yeah, so tell me a bit about why it is you decided to diversify your career. I guess the term people use is portfolio GP, correct?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think what it comes down to really is I spent a lot of time in medicine feeling my whole life had to fit into the funnel that a life in medicine is supposed to be like, at the certain amount of hours that you're supposed to be able to work. And there's a sense in which a dedicated life in medicine should look like X, and whatever an X might just be, slogging away, doing 5 days a week, working nights and all the rest of it. And I think there are lots of cultural assumptions about what expectation there is for what a career in medicine needs to look like. And that, of course, depends on the specialty you work in. So for me, as someone who already wrestled against the grain of that, even as early as my time in medical school, where I found myself, of course, I cared about my studies, but I also cared about my passions. I cared about my musical interests, the community work I like to do. And so I always felt that at every stage of my career, I don't want to lose myself completely in feeling like I've just got to be sucked in to the machine and just work in the way that everybody else says is the way to be. And so for me, as someone who also, I mentioned that an important part of what I do or who I am is I'm a husband, I'm a dad as well. I've got two young kids, and just being able to like think, okay, so I've got X amount of finite time in the week, in a month, in a year. And these are passions, or these are goals, these are objectives I want to achieve with my life. And I'm like, okay, how do I effectively organize my time that I'm able to be satisfied fully as a person, as opposed to, okay, I just trying to climb to the hill of, as I said, whatever set of, you know, steps you're supposed to step up within a particular career. And I think for me, so really it came down to thinking, okay, I knew from when I qualified for medical school and started working as a junior doctor, I did enjoy general practice. I really found the opportunity there to have a broad sense of application of clinical skills and knowledge to really help people holistically and contextually, especially in the context of primary care outside of the hospital. That definitely appealed to me. There was also a sense in which the idea of not having to work long night shifts and weekends just worked better for me as well, with someone who knew that very early on. And I wanted to have a family and I wanted to be able to do the things I like to do on weekends and as well. And so immediately, you know, primary care had that flexibility for me. And then I knew when I then joined, I started working in general practice, the notion of just doing clinical sessions 5 days a week wouldn't be fulfilling for me because of the other interests I have, whether that's education, whether that's innovation, and some of these things. So I already started to think I'm going to have to look at my career as an investment portfolio. I'm going to have to start looking at my time and how I structure my week to get the kind of reward that I'm looking for.
Yeah. And I think you said, you summarized that nicely in terms of how a lot of doctors are feeling at the moment, obviously with burnout rates amongst clinicians being the highest ever, and more doctors than not considering leaving the profession. Maybe you could share your thoughts on the current state of the healthcare system and how that has also played into your decision to pursue a portfolio career.
Yeah, there's no denying that the sort of like the atmosphere, the climate in the NHS at the moment is peak. It's really difficult. There's an incredible amount of professional disillusionment, frustration, whether that's around pay for junior doctors, nursing staff, or just working conditions generally. And as a result of people bolting with their feet, as it were, leaving, it creates gaps in rotas, gaps in service provision. So more people are feeling like there's less sort of hands and feet to be able to make the work seem or feel manageable. People, whether you're working in the hospital setting, you feel like there's less time for career development, portfolio development, developing your skills. You feel like you're sucked into just doing the work, service provision, as opposed to development of your career. And so there are all these legitimate frustrations that I believe expose a sense of what are people going to do to address that need. I think that people want to feel more than just a cog in a wheel, more than just a number trying to plug the gap. They want to feel that sense of purpose, that sense of this is what I want to achieve in my life. I want to feel that sense of fulfillment. And if I don't, I just feel like I'm drained and there's not enough of us to permit that sense of development. I think that explains where people are at and why some people perhaps are leaving medicine altogether. One of the things that I truly believe in is this notion of a portfolio career as a means to address this problem. Because if I'm honest with you, it's better, in my view, to have clinicians who, say, for instance, don't work full time on the wards or in the community doing medicine, but are able to structure their lives in a way that, because of how difficult it is, the time that they are on the wards, even if it's 3 or 4 days or 2 days a week, they're able to do that really effectively and not be utterly burnt out by working all the time in that kind of environment, and then spending the other fractions of their time in ways that fulfill, energize, and empower them. And that's exactly what's happened to me. So while I do 3 days a week in general practice, I really enjoy the days I work in general practice. They are hard days because of all the things I've mentioned already. They're not like I walk into work and it's just nothing to do. It's always busy, there's stuff going on. And when it's an on-call day in primary care, it's a lot more stressful than a normal day. But the stuff I do with Bayanabu, the other things that I've mentioned, like creative outlets, conversation that I'm having here with you, these are all ways that I feel like I get filled up by these things. It touches on the passions and the hopes I have and the ways that I can inspire people. And I then take that positivity and I take that back to the workplace and it energizes me.
Sure. You've hit the nail on the head today in terms of summarizing up nicely how potentially we can address the issue of burnout, the lack of work-life balance. It is maybe to start encouraging more students, start encouraging more clinicians to be open to developing their own portfolio career so they can almost avoid burnout. Because obviously that leads to the productivity, as you mentioned, when they are there, less medical errors and so on. And so it'd be interesting to hear as well. You mentioned the term satisfaction, also fulfillment as a driving force also. So was there a specific point in time, a specific moment, a specific experience you had led you down the route of not choosing a traditional full-time healthcare career path and led you down going the part-time route, but then focusing on other areas that you're interested in, as you mentioned?
Yeah. So for me, when I started my GP training, I initially started it full time. I was like, of course, yeah, just do it. I've got a 3-year program, just do it full time, get through it and start working. And of course, with the natural inclination at that time to probably end up working nearer to full time, certainly nearer to full time than I'm currently working. And if I'm honest, like I say, at the time I started working less than full time, I wasn't even aware it was called a portfolio career. It wasn't a buzzword that it is now. And I wasn't certainly thinking of it as a lifestyle. It was so clear to me that for my own personal well-being, for balancing my own life, I started to realize then, like about halfway through the initial program doing it full-time, going, I need to scale back. I need to find a rhythm that works for me. Preparation for exams, as all of us as medics, we have that to do with specialty training. As I said, I had a young family. I have my musical outlet, and that was so necessary for me to have time regularly in the week scheduled for my songwriting, production, things like that, because that was so crucial for my own headspace. So that really became so crystal clear to me that if I wasn't intentional about structuring and seeing the other things I do as legitimate aspects of my portfolio, of things that I want to invest my time in, things that I also want to develop and grow in, and see them as just as important as my quote-unquote medical career. I had to develop that sense of urgency and that sense of priority with these different elements. And I certainly did do that. And that was important for me. So I moved away from seeing certain things as, oh, that's just a hobby and medicine is first. And there is a sense in which, of course, there will be priorities that, for instance, medical work tends to pay consistently and better than other types of work. And so I might have to, for seasons, go, you know what, despite the fact that I work the number of days I work on average, there are times when I would pick up a locum shift if I felt actually it was important to sacrifice that day to do more clinical work to yield the income. And it's a dynamic, flexible process.
Sure. And I think it's great, firstly, that we have thought leaders like yourself expressing the issue of burnout in the NHS and expressing an alternative pathway than the traditional route, an alternative way of living, a way of working and having this balance. But just to tell a story, I was in a clinic the other day and I was explaining to the registrar who I was in the clinic with about my interest in medtech and the podcast. And her immediate response, rather than to celebrate my interest and celebrate my passion for medtech, was just to ask why. And so in some ways, I think that there is somewhat a stigma around doing things that are not down the traditional route, that are somewhat outside of medicine. But when you have people like yourself who are embracing it, teaching others, spreading the words, I think that's just great. And it's really beneficial for the next generation of doctors like myself. So yeah, my question to you is, how can we get rid of that stigma that there is amongst the traditional clinicians around building a portfolio career?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic question. And I want to tie something I should have said to your earlier question about what might have also really helped to push me towards this path of portfolio careers and modernizing the way we think about clinical practice. And the truth is, you touched on the word burnout. I certainly found myself at a point in my GP training where, when I was doing it full time, and it wasn't so much that the actual clinical work itself was always excessive or beyond, because of course, as a trainee, there is a certain amount of protection that you get being a trainee. But at the same time, with everything else that I was balancing and what I felt were my needs, and them not having the time in the week to do other things beyond just literally portfolio. And when I say portfolio, meaning the famous GP portfolio that you spend half your time trying to populate with learning events and so on, in addition to the clinical work you're doing. And that was just taking so much out of me. And I was juggling a lot of things, and I found myself definitely struggling and took time off, took extended leave, because I was just burnt out. I was just completely undone. And there was multiple factors affecting that, but certainly the climate and the challenges of work as a junior doctor played a role. And I think that question of how do we challenge the attitudes or the stigma, it first starts with challenging the stigma around our vulnerability or fragility as human beings. This notion that we are resilient is supposed to be that we are impervious to burnout, or somehow we can't, or we're just machines. That's not true. We're not. We are very vulnerable, very fragile at times. Lots of factors and different things in our lives can happen that chip away at us, whether that's going through a divorce or going through financial hardship or failing an exam, having personal health problems that just make it difficult for you to get that balance and to keep going with your career despite everything else that's going on in your life. And I think that challenging the attitude that doctors somehow can hold on to, that we have to be perfect, or we have to somehow just always have all our stuff together, I just feel like that's a first step. And then in that, and really embracing more openness and dialogue around our potential vulnerabilities, how we can support each other through that. And then embracing the notion that there are other alternative ways to having a fulfilling life and career as a physician, and that there is no quote unquote wrong or right way to practice your career as a physician. That is, with a career that has a lot of traditions around what it looks like, whether this is the kind of exam that you should pursue, or this is the kind of career path that you're expected. Maybe your parents went down that line and this is what they expect of you. There's a lot of that is, and I'm not saying that all of it is bad, and that there aren't people who feel that is the path that is right for them. But because our lives are so different, some people are married and have children, some people aren't. Some people have an ailing relative that they've got to take care of. We've all got different lives, and we have to take that into account now. The modern approach to being a clinician, in my view, and one that we just need to be more willing to embrace, is that we should retain or take back the autonomy over our careers and how they develop, and decide, okay, if I've got an interest in, like you mentioned, in med tech, that is something I care about. I like technology. I believe that there is potential, greater potential, to harness technology to help patients, not just the patients I directly see, but perhaps patients around the world. And that's a beautiful passion and vision. And it might not be that everybody has that, but you do. And if there is a means by which you can pursue that legitimately as another channel for you, I think we need to encourage doctors to embrace that and say, you know what? Yeah, that's great that you have that. How can I be help? How can I find some person who can maybe mentor you? And that's the great thing about Bionardo, I think, especially in the med tech space, where medical students or early career junior doctors who face that kind of stigma and discouragement from other senior colleagues, hopefully can come on to Bionabu and find that direct encouragement from other mentors and other people, whether they're colleagues or those who are senior to them.
Sure. And what advice would you suggest to medical students, to even F1s, F2s, registrars who are looking to diversify and modernize their career? And Actually, to ask you a better question, what advice would you have given yourself at medical school if you were looking back a couple of years?
I think that's a really, really good question, because I guess things were different at my time in terms of what I might have said to myself then. One key thing was that I remember feeling like I didn't quite fit into the medical kind of culture or the mold, like as early as even medical school. I didn't come from a kind of a medical family. My parents went to university, but they weren't doctors. And so I didn't quite always fit in that sense. And so because I already had a range of different interests and started to figure out what my career would ultimately look like, I started to feel like, oh gosh, it's probably not going to be as typical as others. And I think probably what I would have wanted to hear at that point, if I could have gone back in time, was that it is okay, even from that stage, to feel that you don't have to jump down this cookie cutter path, that it's, you're not less legitimate as a physician. I'll give you an example. I was never inclined to do a lot of academic medicine. Writing papers and that sort of thing wasn't really something that I thought was for me. And I thought, oh, you have to be like super nerdy to be, if I'm allowed to use that term, but that was just the stereotype I had. Those medics who would end up doing PhDs, because it required a certain amount of interest at that stage. But I mean, now in my career, I've had an opportunity at Bayer Nauru based on the Lacarnia project that was set up early last year on the heels of the Ukraine-Russia war, to help to support displaced refugees both in and beyond the borders of Ukraine, and just being able to be involved in an academic research project based on the insights from looking at how digital health technologies, telehealth, were employed as part of that Lacarnia project. And I really enjoyed that. And I've done academic research my way. I ended up finding, because it's in an area that is interesting to me, you know, that looking at primary care being provided in that kind of through a digital interface to support displaced refugees. And it just made the whole thing come alive. And I'm just excited about that. So I think that, just to say that your interests are, don't allow whatever mainstream narratives within medicine to discourage you from what you're interested in. Hone that, explore that, find other people who are also, who maybe hold the same passion, or somebody who's further along than you, to get some support and mentorship.
Yeah, that's great. And I've just come off a recording with Mark, who's the head of marketing at BNRB. And we were discussing the importance of a personal brand in healthcare and what a personal brand actually means to different people. And what I've noticed, Joel, looking at all your different forms of social media, whether it's LinkedIn or the BNRB pages, you talk a lot about this term, this modern day clinician. So I wanted to ask you, what does a modern day clinician actually mean to you?
Yeah. I use that, and I'm aware that it can mean so many things to different people, like you said. I feel like the modern world is essentially a world where the individual feels empowered as it relates to their career, to be in the driving seat concerning the design of that career, the structuring of that career, and seeing themselves as the CEO of their time, resource, and really just moving away from the model of, we're just, as clinicians, stuck into a particular mold where your employer or your university or the training scheme completely determines what your career and life can look like. And it's such an empowering thing. There are doctors now who spend significant amounts of their time doing media or education or become entrepreneurs. And what they do a week to week can look very different. And they can spend seasons of their lives, sometimes not in clinical practice. And that's not always a bad thing for some people. It's the right choice to make. I'm still grateful to be in clinical practice. I enjoy clinical practice. And I want to continue to have that as an outlet for me, because it is important for me in the way that I like to work. So I think that just being a modern clinician, is, in my view, is just being an empowered, self-directed clinician that chooses to structure their career in a meaningful way that supports their whole life holistically and just makes them feel fulfilled.
It's a great answer. And a lot of what you said has resonated with me, and I'm sure it will resonate and inspire a lot of the next generation of clinicians. How can people get in touch with you if they want to pick your brain and learn a bit more about the possible career options in medtech or becoming a portfolio clinician?
Yeah, I would firstly recommend every clinician to get on BayanAbu, and I'm on there at my profile. You can find me directly on BayanAbu. I'm also on LinkedIn, and you can inbox me, connect with me there. I'm quite happy for people to reach out to me in my inbox and get my email address, and you can also make that available. As I said, for me, I'm open to one-to-one conversations. I'm open to providing people with mentorship, support, giving feedback on CVs, any of that stuff. And I'm just happy to just be an available voice of support and direction.
Sure. And it's been great having you, Joel. And thank you, honestly, for sharing your insights and experiences. And so just to end the podcast, maybe provide the listeners with one last call of action. Anyone looking to get started on their journey of diversifying and modernizing their career, what is initial first step you suggest them doing?
Yeah, I would say the first step is be very clear in your mind what your vision is of your life. What are the things you truly feel like you care the most about? What problems in the world you feel just committed to solving? Because ultimately, if your career doesn't, and the way that you structure your career, your portfolio career, doesn't help you to achieve that or to move closer towards that, it's very unlikely that you will end up feeling very fulfilled. You'll end up just more feeling like you're doing lots of different jobs and getting stuck in the rut, rather than feeling like you've found a vocation, a way to order the different things you do to ultimately achieve that big value, a core value. And it could be a number of things. So I think writing that down, being clear about that, sounds like a massive task, but actually just getting some time, quiet time away with a piece of paper, starting there, and just being, as I said, being very clear. And then I think reaching out and finding a mentor is a really good step. It's okay to not be sure about your career, to feel a bit confused, and having someone you can talk that through, mentor/coach, could be useful. And I think join BayanAbu. I know this is the BayanAbu podcast, but I really can't stress that enough. There's so many people on there who are doing exactly this, building portfolio careers, figuring out, getting that mentorship support, clarifying their goals in life, and just, yeah, and achieving it.
That's really great. And just to add to that, I know Ina, the queen of BayanAbu, has just actually released a new structure for the mentorship program, which is out now for you to look at on BayanAbu. So I personally went through the mentorship and I have nothing but feedback and great words to say. It really developed my professional and personal skills. So anyone looking to get started on their journey, just reach out to either myself, Joel, or Ina on BayanAbu. It's been great having you, Joel.
Thank you again. Take care. I'm sure we'll talk again.